You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Just yesterday, Workplace Relations and Safety Minister Brooke Van Velden revealed that the government had agreed to replace the Holidays Act of 2003 with a new Employment Leave Act. Under the overhaul, entitlements for annual leave, sick leave, and bereavement leave would accrue in hours from day one of employment, rather than being tied to weeks after certain periods. Last week, Environment Canterbury voted 9-7 to declare a nitrate emergency, a response to mounting evidence of groundwater contamination in the region. And more than 5,300 people have signed the Green Party's petition to restore Te Reo Māori names to two Wellington electorates after the Representation Commission announced that the names of the Rongotai and Ohariu electorates would be changed to Wellington Bays and Wellington North earlier in August this year. For our weekly catch-up with the Green Party, we spoke with MP Ricardo Menendez March to discuss all of these issues. To begin, can you tell us about the Green Party's response to the government's overhaul of the Holidays Act and our current sick leave laws?
If we cut through the government's spin, at the core what this is doing is effectively gutting sick leave entitlements for part-time workers. And who makes up the bulk of our part-time workers in this country? It's women, it's young people, it's disabled people, and it's people coming off the benefit. People who should be supported instead of being completely left out of having entitlements they would have had otherwise. When you get sick, you don't get sick part-time. It requires you to take time off work and other responsibilities, and it's hugely irresponsible to create a system that will now push sick people to show up to work because they'll have less entitlements.
Will you be able to tell us a little bit more about how these changes will affect women workers specifically?
Well, so for example, if you're working 20 hours a week, you'll have 5 days worth of sick leave now, as opposed to the 10, you know, the full entitlements you would have had otherwise because of how it's calculated right now. But once again, as I've said, you know, if you're a parent with young children, it's not like the responsibilities you have to take when you take sick leave are part-time. What this will effectively do is make parents have to choose between looking after a sick child or show up to work. And worse, showing up to work sick, getting your colleagues sick, and then that lowering the productivity and the well-being of a workplace. It's not a responsible policy for employers, nor for workers, or our health system.
The government has argued that this overhaul would lead to a simplified leave payment method that could protect workers from underpayments that were common while applying for leave under the previous act. Do you think that this is the case?
But there's two different things that the government should be doing. One of them is simplifying the systems that we use to calculate leave. The other one is protecting sick leave entitlements that were hard fought by workers. And as I have said, the government seems to be assuming that when you get sick, you're getting sick part-time. Sickness affects people the same way, whether you're a part-time worker or a full-time worker. And this will disproportionately affect women, parents, people coming off the benefit, and young people who tend to be overrepresented in part-time work. And it's rich for the government to be saying that they want to get people off the benefit and into work when they well know that part-time work is one of those pathways into employment. And this will just make it harder for people to retain work and to be well at work.
And what would a fair sick leave and employment leave system look like under a Greens-led government?
Well, we would be ensuring that people can get the same sick leave entitlements because sick leave affects people the same, whether in part-time or full-time employment. And we've got a long-standing history of fighting for reforms when it comes to people being able to, for example, take time off work if they need to get treatment like cancer treatment. And this is why we've also proposed other changes in the ACC system as well to look after our workers when they are not well. A country does not benefit from not looking after people who are sick, and this is why we're standing strong against these changes, and we will restore sick leave entitlements for part-time workers when we're in government.
Moving on to the next topic, Environment Canterbury recently voted 9-7 to declare a nitrate emergency in response to mounting evidence of groundwater contamination in the region. Recent surveys have revealed that over 60% of tested wells showed increased nitrate levels, with some exceeding the maximum safe level for drinking water. So next, I'd like to ask, what was the Green Party's reaction to both Environment Canterbury's decision to declare a nitrate emergency, as well as the prevalence of groundwater contamination in the region?
Well, it is indeed an emergency, and I think it's really concerning that the government is dismissing this as opposed to addressing the reality. But for many of our communities, this is putting our drinking water at risk of contamination. It's preventing people from having the security that they'll have clean water and waterways in their areas, something that we should be guaranteeing for future generations. And it shows that the government doesn't have an economic plan beyond intensifying our dairy industry at the expense of our natural environment and local communities who could be facing ill health as a result of this water contamination.
What specific policies have allowed excessive dairying to contaminate groundwater in Canterbury?
Well, it's part of an economic plan from the government that relies on the intensification of our dairy industry, as opposed to, for example, supporting farmers by having funds to help them transition into more regenerative forms of practices. They can also help farmers export high-value products, as opposed to exporting products that then get basically refined overseas and then we have to import back. And this is why the Greens have long called for our government to diversify our economy so that we're not as reliant on dairy. And it's something that will only make it harder to happen so long as the government continues allowing the gutting of other sectors of our economy, like the manufacturing industry. And so the core thing here is to allow farmers to transition to better practices and also to diversify our economy.
Colin Hurst, who is the vice president of Federated Farmers, referred to the emergency declaration as, quote, virtue signaling, and said that dairy farmers were actively working to reduce nitrate levels. How would you respond to that? Do you think that's true?
Unfortunately, it is not. And I also want to acknowledge that many farmers are trying to do the right thing. And what they do need is better support from government to transition into better practices and for our government to acknowledge the need to diversify our economy and to not allow the gutting of other sectors like manufacturing, which only makes us more reliant on intensive dairying. I think calling it virtue signaling is a complete disrespect to communities on the ground who are going to be worried about the quality of their drinking water, the quality of the waterways, which could put people's risk health at risk. And I think it's irresponsible to turn away from the realities that people in the Canterbury region are facing potential health problems as a result of this growing contamination.
And can you tell us about the Greens' plan to both address nitrate pollution while also balancing the need for sustainable agriculture?
For a couple of elections now, we have campaigned on having a fund that allows farmers to transition into more regenerative forms of practices, agricultural practices. And this cycle, we've also released our industrial strategy, which aims to create thousands of jobs in the manufacturing and construction sector to help diversify our economy and to not have us so reliant on intensive dairy farming, which is having impacts on our natural environments and putting the quality of our waterways at risk.
All right, moving on to the last topic. More than 5,300 people have signed the Green Party's petition to restore Te Reo Māori names to two Wellington electorates. This comes after the Representation Commission announced that the names of the Rongotai and Ohariu electorates would be changed to Wellington Bays and Wellington North earlier in August this year. Next, I'd like to ask, what was your reaction to the responses to the petition?
Well, we did just have Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori, right? And what I saw myself on the ground is a growing number of people celebrating our unique identity as a country, and that includes the use of reo in place names. And to have these changes when it comes to Ohariu Rongotai to English-based names, it's just a complete joke and a disregard to the fact that one of the things that makes us unique is our connection to Te Reo Māori. A language that at one point was at risk of being lost and now is being revitalized thanks to the efforts of people on the ground. The way that the names were changed was also not democratic, and it was due to the feedback of a very, very, very small number of people, which I think that does not take into account the broader communities and the Wellington region either.
Do you think that the public response to this petition gives a signal to the government about how they should approach Te Reo Māori place names and language use across the whole of Aotearoa?
I think beyond this petition, what we have seen is a rising number of people who value our unique identity as a country and our commitments to Te Tiriti o Waitangi. And what we have instead is a government that seems to think that Te Reo is too confusing and difficult. When most people across the world speak more than one language, people are well used to navigating environments where more than one language is used. And at the end of the day, we have a responsibility to honour Te Tiriti Te o Waitangi, and that includes the use of language and cultural practices. And so I just think the ministers need to just recognise that it's not that hard. I don't think that many people would have been confused by the use of a term like Orangutai in an electorate, where prioritising in their lives having that changed to an English name.
So with clear public support for Te Reo Māori names to be restored, what are the next steps for the Representation Commission?
Well, to review that position that they hold and to also be far more careful next time they're reviewing names, to change names from Reo back to English. And I hope that the government as a whole thinks about the future that we want for in Aotearoa, that honours Te Tiriti o Waitangi, that recognises the uniqueness that we have when it comes to the use of reo, and stops this whitewashing of our country when most people can quite easily navigate and learn reo Māori should we choose to, especially when it comes to place names, which is quite common across the country.
And that was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March talking to us about the government's changes to sick leave laws with their planned overhaul of the Holidays Act, as well as Environment Canterbury's decision to carry a motion declaring a nitrate emergency, and the responses to the Greens petition calling on Te Reo Māori names to be restored to Wellington electorates.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.